It is now the moment for you to awake from sleep. I don't know if that's the kind of thing you should say in church or not, but have you ever awakened from sleep and it was so very dark you couldn't see much of anything? As you try to get your bearings, you glance around and try to discover even a very faint source of light, perhaps a faint glow coming under the door, or a bit of light through the outside window, or maybe even the luminous hands of an old alarm clock to help you orient yourself to your surroundings. Of course, folks like Brother Barry, who's just read for us from the Braille Bible, have learned to navigate fairly well without the benefit of sight that needs light in order to see. And I also realize that for some of us, we wake up feeling a bit disoriented even if we can see our surroundings. But most of us lose perspective very quickly in the dark, and we desperately search for any source of light that will help us find our way. We fumble around trying to find the light switch or a flashlight so we don't smash into the door frame or bang into the wall on our way to the bathroom. But, or maybe you've been winter camping, as I have, and your sleeping bag is not quite warm enough, and a cold chill starts seeping in, but it's still dark and morning is a long ways off, and you can't get back to sleep. You try to get some encouragement from the old saying, "The darkest hour is just before the dawn." Or else you might remember Psalm 130, "My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning." More than those who watch for the morning. And you think, wow, that psalmist must really want the Lord to show up, because I really want the morning light to come so I can see what I'm doing and I can get up and get going and get warm. My point is how disorienting it can be for those of us who were accustomed to navigating by light. Now, what does all this have to do with the season of Advent? Well, the term Advent refers to arrival or to coming, and the arrival we're referring to, of course, is Jesus Christ as incarnate God, our Messiah and Savior, who is known as, wait for it, who is also known as, wait, the light of the world. There you go. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So on one hand, the season of Advent is about remembering the ways that God prepared his people for the first advent of Christ at the feast that we now call Christmas. On the other hand, because Jesus promised that he would come again, Advent is also about how we prepare in the present for his second coming in the future. Are you prepared for the second coming? As our reading from Romans implied, do you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to awake? For salvation is nearer to us now than it was when we became believers. The day is near. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This suggests there's actually a third way that Jesus arrives in our world and in our lives. Joel alluded to that in the prayer. This third type of arrival applies to us right now, this week, today. What I mean is the way that Jesus comes into our lives by the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts and minds and bodies. As our Christmas carol says, "No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in." Has Christ entered your life to help you make sense of it? You can still invite him today, even if you have before. As the old preachers would say, Jesus said, "I'm standing at the door and knocking. Let me in." It's appropriate for us to invite Christ into our lives, to arrive into our lives, even in the present. But which of these Advents do you think we need the most help with? Is it harder to believe that Christ came in his first advent, when the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us? Or is it harder to trust and hope and believe that he will come again, as we say, to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I think the season of Advent can help us with both of these, because we read in the scriptures the prophetic promises by which God prepared his people for Christ's first coming, and we also read Jesus' teaching about his second coming. I realize most of us have probably been celebrating Christmas since we were little children. Is there really anything else we can learn about it? Well, would you like to try? Have any of you ever used Advent calendars to count down the days until Christmas? Anybody? Some have, maybe. What I hope to suggest this morning is that Advent can be even more than just a countdown to Christmas. There may be ways to enrich it even more. And I think the potential in this season of Advent to spiritually enrich us may be in proportion to our ability to wait. Now, how many of you are good at waiting? Do you enjoy waiting for things? How many of you are willing to admit that you don't like waiting? Aha! Have you ever prayed, "Lord, give me patience, but I need it right now"? Have you ever thought that waiting could be a potentially enriching experience? Well, I hope to suggest some perspectives of how we might utilize these next few weeks prior to Christmas to help us awaken our appreciation and our comprehension and our faith in all that Christmas signifies. Now, some of you may be familiar with these ideas and this perspective. For others just may be fairly new. But first, let me ask you about what seems to me to be a bit of a curious puzzle. Have you ever wondered why we don't usually have Grey Cup parties when the football season starts in June? Have you ever wondered why you would probably be surprised to be invited to a wedding reception or a birthday party that happened a month before the actual wedding or the birthday? Would it seem a bit odd to you if the city of Regina planned to have the Canada Day fireworks sometime in May or June instead of on the 1st of July, Canada Day? So here's my question. If we think it would be odd to have a birthday party or a wedding reception weeks before the actual birthday or wedding, if we think it would be odd to have Grey Cup parties or Canada Day fireworks before the actual day, then why do we not think it's odd to have Christmas parties before Christmas? Is it just because Christmas is so special? Or are we possibly missing something? Is it just because Christmas is so special that, as they do in the Philippines, we really should start decorating for Christmas in September? Well, Christmas is pretty special, and personally, I'm not opposed to celebrating Christmas all the time, and singing Christmas carols maybe even in the spring and the summer, which of course is what the Australians and New Zealanders do. I certainly don't want to dampen anyone's enthusiasm to celebrate Christ's incarnation year-round. So please understand, I'm not belittling anyone's observance of Christmas or of Advent. What I am suggesting is that if we take time perhaps to be a little bit more deliberate in our observance of Advent with a bit more patience and contemplation and waiting, perhaps we might find Christmas even more special than it already is. The Calvin Theological Seminary website wrote this a few years ago. Secular society knows a little something about Christmas, but virtually nothing about Advent. The danger for the church is to end up going this same direction. In our rush to get to the manger, we are tempted to downplay or completely ignore the Advent themes that the church has long believed are necessary so that we can come to the cradle of Christ in the right way. In the years and centuries before commercialism turned the holy days, the holidays into shopping seasons, and you may have noticed there's more of them all the time, and they last longer all the time. Before that happened, many of Jesus' followers understood the spiritual benefits of seasons of contemplation and waiting, and yes, even lament, to prepare us to fully appreciate the significance of the high holy days such as Christmas. So if Advent is about waiting for Christ, the light of the world, to come at Christmas, where are we while we wait? Well, if we're waiting for the light, we're in the dark. But it seems that our world as it is, full of glitz and glamour and gadgets, our world is pretty good at trying to hide how spiritually dark it really is. A few years back, when we lived in Alberta, our church hosted a group of young people from a church in Los Angeles. We had them billeted at a farmhouse out in the country, and after sunset, when it got dark, they went out and they were completely amazed and astonished by being able to see the night sky and all the brilliant stars of the Milky Way overhead. Some of them were in their early 20s, and they had lived all their lives in the artificial light of city streetlights. They had never been able to see the night sky in all its glory. This was the first time they had ever seen the splendor of the natural starlight of the millions of suns of our cosmos. I wonder if one of the reasons many people in our culture are unable to see the light of Christ and prepare for his return is because there are so many artificial lights, ideologies, attitudes, entertainments, and distractions which make it hard to see the genuine light of Christ behind it all. You may have heard people complain about the commercialization of Christmas. I think what we mean by commercialism is turning all the holy days, as I've said, into shopping days and seasons. As the culture critic and comedian Tom Leiher used to sing, "God rest ye merry merchants, may you make the Yuletide pay. Angels we have heard on high, tell us to go out and buy." Some Christians have responded to this commercialization of Christmas with a campaign slogan, "Keep Christ in Christmas." But I wonder, perhaps our efforts to keep Christ in Christmas should not be so much trying to shoehorn Jesus into the midst of the commercialism and shopping and gift giving, but rather to have a more contemplative and awakened kind of yearning and an attitude throughout Advent. After all, waking up to our darkness may be a step toward not only receiving the light, but truly rejoicing in its glory. As the AA and the 12 Steps programs teach us, one of the first steps toward deliverance is recognizing our need for help from a higher power. But if we either ignore or refuse to admit our darkness, we may not appreciate the light very much when it comes. If we don't take time to reflect on how much our lives and our world need the light of Christ, we might unconsciously think that the Christ child is like one of those gifts that we didn't really need or want. I'm sure none of you have ever had a Christmas gift you didn't really need or want. Reverend Dr. Mary Luthy, a United Church of Christ pastor from Cambridge, Massachusetts, wrote about some insights into the utility of preparing ourselves for Christmas by reflecting on how much we need the gift of the Incarnation. She writes, "Advent is a time to accept the hard fact that we need it. If Christmas is a celebration of the birth of the Savior, Advent is a time to begin to learn again that we cannot save ourselves. If Christmas is a celebration of God's presence among us in the flesh, then Advent is a time to feel in our own flesh what the world and our lives would be like without his presence. If Christmas is all joy, then Advent is at least partly a time of lament and perhaps even a kind of despair. If Christmas is all divine consolation, then Advent is a time to wake up to the many false substitutes, both personal, social, and national, that stand in for that unique consolation and reject them. End quote. I'd like to read one more quote. This is the testimony of a person who discovered the advantages of using the season of Advent for developing this kind of spiritual awareness. I quote, "As a latecomer to Advent churches, I found myself woefully ignorant of its tradition and practices. The idea of spending time in lament and even despair for several weeks prior to the excitement of the celebration of Christ's birth was originally abhorrent to me. And yet it made sense of my hitherto unexplained sadness all through my adult life in the weeks preceding Christmas. Since the time of my recognition of Christ as the way to God, I knew something had changed in my emotional response prior to the annual Christmas celebration. A kind of darkness in my thoughts and feelings, but I had no explanation for it. Finally, I discovered the season of Advent. Indeed, it is a time for introspection, for admission that my life is not all it should be, a time to examine the darkness surrounding a world of political upheaval, wars, economic crises, and violence, a time to admit that neither I nor the most experienced of world leaders have answers that will ultimately rescue the world around us, a time to face the darkness and despair around the globe and the accompanying feeling of hopelessness." She continues, "Participating deliberately in the Advent season is giving me new hope in the deliverance the birth of Christ is bringing, not only to me, but also to the suffering world. The truth that Jesus Christ is indeed the answer is even more meaningful now as I deliberately allow myself to feel, during the Advent weeks, deep sadness for the misery of our world, and to contemplate my own personal failures and distresses, to begin to grasp the reality of a Christless existence. And so at Christmas, I now more fully realize and experience the joy of a better understanding of the impact of Jesus' birth on the world, an overwhelming joy to see how his existence as Lord of Lords, moves us all toward the ultimate deliverance from despair, the return of Jesus Christ as the ruler and king of all creation. As we wait here in the darkness of Advent, we have hope. The hope is Jesus Christ, the true light of the world." End quote. That was a testimony by Susan Bernosky for Advent in 2011. So, if we're waiting for the light, where are we? Well, as I said, we're in the dark, of course. And how can you prepare for company when all your lights are out? Have you ever had that happen? You're waiting for guests to come and all of a sudden there's a power failure? Well, providentially, God has never left his people in complete darkness. Even before the first advent of Christ in Bethlehem, the Word of God was sending a few rays of light into our dark world. The Word of God entered the world through the Torah given to God's people at Sinai and through the words spoken through the prophets. As the scripture says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Are you using the scriptures to enlighten your path? We exemplify this reality every Sunday in our Advent readings. It's symbolized by lighting the candles. Every week, another candle, a little bit more light. Every week, another reading, a little more understanding of who the Messiah is and what his kingdom will be like. For example, as we read this morning, the prophet Isaiah, "There will come a day when the people shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Less than a mile and a half from where my son and daughter-in-law live in New York City, this very scripture is inscribed on the wall of the United Nations building, as well as on several sculptures in the yard. It was inscribed there in hope, but now it seems to stand instead as an indictment on naive humanism, because it seems human society on planet Earth is getting farther from this ideal all the time. You may recall, at least it seems to me, that much of Joel's preaching this last year has been on this theme, the struggle to have faith and keep hope alive when it seems, as far as peace on earth goes, our world looks more hopeless all the time. Or as the old U.S. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said, God's plan had a hopeful beginning, but humans spoiled their chances by sinning. We trust that the story will end in God's glory, but right now the other side's winning. So in spite of the fact that the other side is winning, Advent is not just remembering Jesus' first advent, but also preparing for his second advent. As Jesus said in our reading today, keep awake. Therefore you must be ready, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. For the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Have you thought about this? Jesus' instructions raise two, I think, quite challenging questions. What good does it do to be awake in the dark? And how on earth are we supposed to prepare for something when we don't know when it's going to happen? Jesus said, you don't know when it's going to happen, and yet we're supposed to prepare for it. I think our experience in waiting is very much like that of the Jews in Jesus' time. We're in between times. Like them, we have God's promises that the kingdom will come to earth, but also like them, when we look around, it seems rather obvious that it's not yet fully here. And so we wait on the Lord. Maybe this reminds you of being in the doctor's office. First, right, this is how it usually goes, right? First you wait in the outside room, and then someone comes and shows you how to get closer to where you need to be. But that's usually just another waiting room, and you have to start waiting all over again. First we wait, and then we wait some more. But the analogy, I think, breaks down here because we're not waiting alone. Right? The place that we wait as God's people is in the world, with one another, and with the needs of the world around us. And so I want to say one more thing about waiting. Almost done. Waiting, thank you for waiting. Waiting can be more than trying to develop personal patience for our own benefit. Because Advent is not about waiting for something in which we have no part or stake. Advent is not about waiting for something in which we do not have a part. Because Jesus also told his followers, Jesus, the light of the world, told his followers, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So in Advent, and indeed all year long, we are called not only to hope for and believe in Christ's coming kingdom that is so wonderful that it's hard to believe, but we are also called to participate in its arrival. That is the way Jesus taught us to pray, isn't it? In the Lord's Prayer, even before we ask for our daily bread, we're supposed to ask for the kingdom of God to come to earth. Because I think when it comes, everyone will get their daily bread. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about being the light of the world? Has it occurred to you that we, you and I, have been invited to participate in the redemption of the world? Perhaps the very act of waiting is an investment in the return of our King, because being awake in the dark will shape our character and make us more capable channels of God's grace and light in the world that he is redeeming. May God give you grace, patience, and joy as we both wait and work in preparation for his arrival. Amen.